The greatest Christmas present I could hope to receive is just to see you at God's house. You know, I've got my daughter and my grandkids going to be here next Friday or Saturday. You know, just seeing them. What do you think God wants from you this Christmas? Just you. Just you. God wants you, I believe, and I heard David Wilkerson actually was talking about this, went to a fundraiser benefit for Paulding Pregnancy Services, and he brought a message about how God wanted children. That's you. Every one of you. He knows you by name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He understands your weaknesses, your strengths, knows everything about you. And he loves you just like you are. Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and I'm glad you're here. If you've got your Bible, we're going to read in the book of John. We're going to read in the first chapter. We're going to read just a couple of verses. And I know this is Christmas time, and we've got a manger scene up here. And by the way, Christmas time is about Christ. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ as he came into the world. And a lot of times what you see in large decorated areas and places is everything except the nativity scene. You know, a Christmas tree is nice and it's pretty. And I'll tell you, folks, our decorations are beautiful here. And again, I'll reiterate that we really appreciate the decorating committee and what they've done. They're pretty. I love to see them. I got up this morning. Y'all see my red tie? Tommy Bruce even commented on my tie. He likes it. My wife had on a red dress, and I said, I'm going to wear a red tie. And then I said, we're going to get our picture took. She smiled. That's all she wanted to hear from me this morning. And if you want to look good, get your picture took beside a good-looking woman. Yeah. It always helps, doesn't it, brother?
Amen.
Well, we come, we got our picture took in front of the tree, and it's pretty. You can see the Santa Claus, you can see the snowman, you can see the trains, you can see the candy canes, and I love all that stuff. Folks, I love gingerbread lattes, and I love to eat. And I love to drink those seasonal drinks this time of the year. I love the hot apple cider. Things that you really just see and hear. I love to go up to Dollywood just to go to the Christmas show. Just to hear the singing. But I want to tell you something. None of that means anything without Christ. And when people have all those other things and they don't understand what it's about, they're missing the point. We have the nativity scene here, and we have one up front, and this is beautiful, and this was given to our church. And these are very heavy, by the way, and when I came in and saw that these ladies had done this, I thought, I hope their back is okay. But you know, if you look at the nativity scene, what I want you to understand this morning as we get into the scripture is that Jesus existed long before he came to earth as a baby. And the problem that people have with a limited and a finite mind trying to understand an infinite God is they look at something like the manger scene and they see the baby and they say, how can a person that come to this earth be God? But what I want to talk to you about this morning is about Jesus before the Son became a baby. And I want to read just a couple of verses, and then we're going to get into the Word of God, and we're going to run all over the place with it. But I'm going to try to bring for just a few minutes the thought that I want you to understand that God existed. Not just long before he came to earth as a child, Jesus. But he existed beyond your ability to comprehend. I mentioned yesterday in the funeral service about being out deep in the woods where there was really just no light pollution. And we sit there at night in camp and we look up at the stars. And it seems like there are things that you can see. You see shooting stars and you can see how bright the stars are, and sometimes you can't help but fathom and wonder about what's out there. How far does it go? Where does it end? And when you really begin to comprehend or try to comprehend that it doesn't end, it's almost overwhelming. Sometimes people have dedicated their entire life to just trying to understand and study space, trying to find an answer for things they'll never understand. So how long has Jesus been God? Let's look at John chapter 1, verse number 1 through verse number 3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And if we sit here today and we really want to stop and think about it, and even considering the manger, can a day in December or the birth of a baby truly mark the beginning of the Son of God? Well, the answer to that question is no. Unlike you and I, Jesus existed long before His birth and long before there was even air to breathe. Long before the world that you and I know and understand and live in was even born, Jesus existed. And just for a minute, I want you to consider Jesus, the Son of God, in eternity past. As far back as you can comprehend, as far as you can consider. The first verse, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now we read this and you say, that's talking about the Word. How do we know that the Word is Christ? In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Scripture says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Impossible for a finite and limited mind to understand that God could be Father and Son and Holy Spirit all in one. It's what's called a trichotomy, where the three are together. They're separate, but they're one. We can't understand it because the truth is we have many, many limitations that God doesn't have. But the Bible also talks about the glory of man, and it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? For you've crowned him with glory and honor." And I want you to understand something that God has put on man. He has put glory on you. He's given you the ability of a free will because you reflect the light of His glory when you serve Him. But we're not yet all that we're going to be. So why did John, in this scripture, call Jesus the Word? And I've got some scripture here. So it's actually some words from a commentator. And this title is actually in the Greek, it's Logos. And according to commenter William Barclay, I want to read just a few words. It says, "He is the instrument through which God has made the world. The thought of God stamped upon the universe that gave man a reason. The power to think, the power to know, the creating and guiding and directing power of God, the power which made the universe and kept it going." So John went out to the Jews and to the Greeks to tell them that in the name of Jesus Christ, this creating and illuminating, controlling, sustaining mind of God has come to earth. He came to tell them that men need no longer guess and grope. All they had to do was look at Jesus and see the mind of God. Now, if you go back even into the times, the early times, you find that men did guess, they did grope. You can find all manner of gods that people have worshipped and things that people have worshipped. Yet it's too simple for them simply to believe that Jesus was God's Son sent into the world in the flesh. You see, the word logos, it has no beginning. Rather, it means he existed in the beginning. You see, for you and I, there was a beginning. That's why the scripture calls our Lord the Alpha and the Omega. But for God, impossible to understand, there was no beginning. And there's no ending. You know, when we talk about what are we going to experience next? Two funerals this week for people who had professed to know Christ as their Savior. We've got a board on the wall right outside the door that talks and it has names of members of our church. You and I have loved ones. And we say that they have stepped out into eternity. Eternity is no beginning and it's no ending. It's when man walks with God in a place that God has prepared for us. Psalms 90 and verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." A.W. Tozer paraphrased it like this: it's like from vanishing point to vanishing point. Have you ever had anybody ask you, what's the earliest remembrance that you have? What's the earliest Christmas you can remember? What's the first present that you can receive as a child that maybe you remember getting? Sometimes people ask me those things and I try to go back in my mind and I remember some of the things that I experienced just as a boy. And it seems way there. But for you and I, what I want us to understand about the greatness of God is as far back as the mind can look and see, reaching into the past, and then turn and look as far as we can into the future. God exists at both points. And he's unaffected by either. You know, we use words doctrinally that God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere present and nowhere absent. He's omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. He's omniscient. That means he's all knowing. But it's impossible for us to understand. But until you get to the point that you recognize that he is God, and being God, he is all things, he is creator, and he's always been, you'll never be able to come to grips with a baby being born in a manger and being God. I can't tell you the times that I've stood in Sunday school classes and taught Sunday school, and I would be teaching on the virgin birth, and I would actually feel and see that people, even in church, don't necessarily believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. How can he be God and create man from the dust of the earth and breathe into his body life and man become a living soul and not be able to miraculously, by the touch of the Holy Spirit, reach down into the womb of a little virgin and say, my son, the Savior of the world, is going to come, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. Amen. And God sent his son into the world. John verse 1 and verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. Further evidence of Jesus' eternal preexistence comes later in John's gospel. Chapter 1 verse 15, John the Baptist said, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Not born before him. You know the story how that Mary went to Elizabeth, and she went there to where Elizabeth was, and Elizabeth was already pregnant with John the Baptist. Farther along than Mary, and when Mary spoke to Elizabeth and told her that she was with child of the Holy Ghost, John the Baptist, through the movement of the Holy Spirit, leaped in the womb. So John the Baptist was actually born before Jesus, but he was not of the type of conception because he was born of man, but he was the forerunner of Christ. But when he was speaking in this place, he wasn't simply saying, I was born 2 or 3 months before him. He was before me because the Bible says, in the beginning, God said, let us make man. John 6:38, Jesus himself said, for I am come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. In John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, not I was, I am. I am is not I was or I will be. He's always been. He's God. John 17:5, Jesus praying for you and I, prayed for you and me. He says, now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. The second thing that I want you to consider about Christ, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and creation. So what was Jesus doing in eternity past? As far back as we can comprehend, but farther. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You see, Jesus was creation's master craftsman. He established the divine decrees, the laws of the universe, and he created the world with all of its beauty. You know, when I look around and I see what God has done, it's a masterpiece. You know, I love the outdoors, as most of you know. And when I see the creation of God, the sunrise, the sunset, when I see the fall leaves, when I see the flowers bloom, it is the amazing creation of God. We've got some little babies in the church this morning. I like to see them come in. I didn't go to college till I was 35 years old. I was already preaching, pastoring. Every paper I wrote, every public speaking engagement that I had was an opportunity for me, to the point that the professors would come to me and they'd say, you have an ulterior motive, don't you? I would just smile. But I can remember writing a paper about the conflict between creation and evolution and how that it, in my mind, it's impossible to not believe that there's a creator. And as I look at these little children coming in this morning, one thing that I mentioned, it's not just the sunset. It's not the sunrise, it's not the leaves, it's not God's creation, but I cannot look into the eyes of a child and not believe that there's a creator God. And what did Jesus say? He said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. You see, from the very beginning, I believe God had a plan. He had a plan for the world. Jesus was involved with that plan. He had a plan for all mankind and for the salvation that you and I enjoy today. And God had a plan for you as an individual. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says this, for by him, this is speaking of God, Jesus Christ, for by him we were, all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things exist. You know that I've talked to people that say they don't believe in God and they won't follow Jesus Christ, but yet some of them proclaim to follow the devil. You say, well, people don't do that. You can check any college campus in America and you'll find a club that's on that campus. It's called Wiccan. I got up and gave a speech on creation versus evolution. Right behind me came up a girl that was about 22 years old and gave a speech on Wiccan. And I'm thinking, how can you believe in a created being and not believe in the God that created them that they rebelled from? Now, I want to tell you something. I could preach two messages, but I'm not. I'm going to get right back on track. Just a little short rabbit trail, Brother Larry. The devil may be running rampant in the country today. And there may be people making decisions supposedly for you and I that are in authority. But there's going to come a day when God's going to step out and he's going to call for his people. Amen. And I want to tell you, it's not going to be Joe Biden sitting on the throne. It's not going to be the devil sitting on the throne. It's not going to be the Supreme Court justices making decisions for you and I. But as I heard an elderly gentleman tell me when I was up in Tennessee, he says it's going to be the Son of God. Amen. Jesus is going to be sitting on the throne. And the last, I want you to consider the Son of God with flesh. How can it be? Here's an amazing thought. Brother Jeff sang that song, Mary, Did You Know? And I don't know what we got for invitation, but brother, I'd like for you to sing that again. Let's go ahead and prepare for that. I want you to consider this, and I want you to listen to this song, and maybe you'll understand it differently. I'm going to be a few minutes, brother, but in a minute. The baby that Mary held in her arms, the baby that Mary held in her arms was holding the universe in place. The Bible says in one place in the book of Isaiah, it says, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And where is the house that you build unto me? You know why we have so much trouble serving God is we won't let him be God. We want to be God. You can't even determine your next breath. You don't know what could be going on inside of your body that you might have to cry out to a living God for. This little baby was God in the flesh. You say, well, when we read stories about Jesus, we see things that happened to him that proved that he was flesh. Yes. Because he got hungry. But he had to be hungry. He suffered pain. But he had to suffer pain. He got tired and he was sleepy. But he had to be sleepy. A couple of weeks ago, I preached on the message of Jesus when he was in the boat. And he was there and he was weary and he was asleep. And the water began to come in the boat. And the disciples, they were afraid and they cried out to him and they said, Master, we perish. The same God that got tired commanded the waves and the winds. The same one that was hungry is able to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Hold them up before God and bless them and break them and distribute them. And 5,000 men besides women and children were able to be fed. You see, when Jesus came, he didn't come in his power and glory. He came humble. He came desiring and seeking to walk among men so that he could understand everything you ever experienced. Every hurt, every pain, everything that you go through, when you cry out to him, that's why the scripture says that we not have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What does that mean? Sometimes, especially in Jesus' day, the high priest had gotten so lifted up, they would stand on the corners and they would fast and pray so that they would be seen of men. And it got to the point that the people of the day could not get to God because the high priest stood in the way. But it says, this man, Jesus, he suffered all things like as you and I, yet without sin. Then it says, separating us from the law and taking us in the age of grace, it says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's why, as a boy at 12 years old, separated from his parents, 12, supposed to be with your mom and daddy, he separated from them and they went looking for him. And here's what happened in that temple. The boy Jesus walked in. But when he picked up the tablets and began to speak, God flooded the room. And they were amazed at what the child said. They didn't know it was God. Jesus come into a manger. Swaddling clothes, rags that were used to clean the cows before they milked them. They wrapped him, they laid him in a manger, and God announced his birth gloriously with the angels and shepherds came. A couple of years later, wise men saw the star, and they came. The word of God fulfilled exactly according to what the prophecies in the Old Testament said. Because before the Son became a baby, he was with God and he was God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came to his own and his own received him not. You know, the truth is today, to be a Christian, it takes faith. You must believe. You must believe in your heart, the Bible says, and confess with your mouth. It's unfortunate that people have gotten so busy and so distracted by the holiday of Christmas that we've forgotten that this is about Christ. And we're so distracted by the world and the busyness and the jobs and the careers and all the things that we're going to accomplish within the next year or 5 years of our life to understand that eternity is waiting on us. And we're going to step out into eternity and we're going to walk with God or without God. I want to read this poem to you, then I'm going to ask Brother Jeff to sing. When Brother Jeff begins to sing, I'll have to get to your eyes to your feet. You know, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you what's great about today, this Sunday, is that the door of God's mercy is still open. Any person who doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior can. You say, well, I don't want to be like, and you fill in the blank. You know what God wants you to be like? He wants you to be the very best you that you can be. Amen. And you will never, ever be that without a correct relationship with him. Amen. Says the maker of the universe, as a man, for man made a curse. The claims for laws which he had made, unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers made the bow, where grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mined, in secret places he designed. He made the forest which there sprung, the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sky which darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The sun which hid from him its face, by his decree was poised in space. The spear which split his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks his hands had made. The throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years. But a new glory crowns his brow. And my favorite verse says, and every knee to him shall bow. Brother Jeff's going to sing. If God spoke to your heart, if there's anything on your heart you'd like to pray about, you can come. But I want to give you a special invitation, as we always do. If you don't know Christ and you'd like to know him, you can come pray. I'll be glad to pray with you. Brother Allen will be glad to pray with you. Ladies, there are ladies that will pray with you, young people. Would you please stand to your feet? And understand, this Christmas, number one thing God wants from you is just you. God loves you this morning.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy save your sons and daughters? Did you baby boy would one day rule a nation.